Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, May 6, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from San Diego, California. About a year ago or so, when we looked at some of the DVRs that had this simple root telnet password of 12345, I thought, well, this was pretty bad, but it turns out not as bad as some truck delivery pumps used in hospitals. Apparently, some of these pumps have a telnet server enabled without any credentials whatsoever. This was discovered by a researcher who looked at some of these pumps. Now, turns out, by default, their main network connectivity is wireless. The wireless is usually encrypted, but these pumps also have a wired Ethernet port that, of course, a patient could use to easily then connect to the pump, and with that also extracting the wireless encryption key to use that key to then connect to the wireless network and wirelessly connect to whatever other pumps are connected to this network. Now, you may wonder why someone publishing about these issues. Turns out that initially the company behind these, as well as hospitals and regulators, weren't actually going to do anything about these vulnerabilities. But after the article was published, the manufacturer now indicated that the telnet issues and other issues found as part of this test will be addressed shortly. And thanks to Netflix for yet again releasing an internal developed security tool as open source. This tool is Fido, the fully integrated defense operation. At first, it sort of looks a little bit like a log correlator. It can collect alerts, logs from different existing security tools, but then it goes beyond that. If an alert is received, Fido can, for example, check asset databases to rate what kind of asset was being attacked. It can also then correlate with external feeds to figure out what kind of source, for example, this particular alert came from. With that, it then calculates a score for the alert and will notify security teams whether or not this is something that deserves further investigation. Sounds pretty interesting. So if you're looking for a tool like this, it's now open source and available via GitHub. And the Cisco Talos blog has an interesting write-up about RomberTick. That's a new piece of malware. It's implementing the man-in-the-browser attack, and with that, stealing credentials from arbitrary websites. So it's not focusing just on one type of websites like online banking or the like, but indiscriminately slurping up usernames and passwords. That's not really all that new. What's really special is the length at which the creators of this malware went to in order to prevent analysis of the malware. Apparently, only about 5% of the code is actually used. The remaining 95% are just to keep analysts busy. But in addition to that, if the malware detects that it is being tampered with, it will destroy the system it is running on by overriding the master boot record, or if it can't do so because of limited permissions, it will just delete all files that it can get a hand on. So overall, this is intended to make analysis slower, more difficult, and with that, make it harder to figure out what this piece of software actually is trying to accomplish. And I can't find the link for it right now, but earlier I remember seeing a fake Facebook exploit that's going around. Apparently, the exploit is written in Perl. The code snippet, at least I've seen, was somewhat obfuscated, not actually terribly difficultly obfuscated, and claims to give you any user's private messages. Turns out all it does is it counts how many users actually run this particular exploit. There is a URL it sort of reports to whenever the exploit is run, and if you decode some of the obfuscated parts of this exploit script, it pretty much states, well, this is just a fake exploit, to see how many people will blindly run exploits with obfuscated code. And well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.